From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll be hearing from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled What to Leave Children. The text is Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Anxiety about our family is natural, but we shall be wise if we turn it into care about our own character. If we walk before the Lord in integrity, we shall do more to bless our descendants than if we bequeath them large estates. A father's holy life is a rich legacy for his sons. The upright man leaves his heirs his example, and this in itself will be a mine of true wealth. How many men may trace their success in life to the example of their parents? He leaves them also his repute. Men think all the better of us as the sons of a man who could be trusted, the successors of a tradesman of excellent repute. Oh, that all young men were anxious to keep up the family name. Above all, he leaves his children his prayers and the blessing of a prayer-hearing God, and these make our offspring to be favored among the sons of men. God will save them even after we are dead. Oh, that they might be saved at once! Our integrity may be God's means of saving our sons and daughters. If they see the truth of our religion proved by our lives, it may be that they will believe in Jesus for themselves. Lord, fulfill this word to my household.
Come and find rest.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Resisting the Holy Spirit, part of this series in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, just prior to his martyrdom, Stephen accused the Jewish leaders of always resisting the Holy Ghost. As Dr. Cairns has shown, the unsaved resist the Holy Ghost in a number of ways, such as by their proud religion of externals, by their rejection of Christ as personal Savior, and many other ways as well. In addition, apostate preachers resist the Holy Spirit by their opposition to the spread of the gospel. But Christians, too, can resist the Holy Ghost by failing to live up to what they claim to believe, thus bringing reproach upon the name of Christ. Then believers can be guilty of hindering the Spirit's work by being dull of hearing when God's word is preached, by failure to pray, by relying on someone or something other than Christ, by unholy living, just to name some examples. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Resisting the Holy Spirit.
In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why is it remained? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning we have three texts of Scripture. One in the book of Acts chapter 5, one in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Acts chapter 5 and verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? And then Ephesians chapter 4 and the 30th verse, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, one of the briefer verses of the New Testament, quench not the Spirit. It is a matter of the most important significance for us to recognize that some of the most solemn warnings against sin, and particularly against sinning against the Holy Ghost, in the whole Word of God, are issued not to vicious worldlings, but they are issued to the Church of Christ, to those people who profess the name of the Lord Jesus, taking that name upon them in a peculiar way, saying to heaven, earth, and hell that they are God's redeemed people. It is to these people that the most solemn and serious warnings about sinning against the Holy Ghost are issued. We as God's people ought never to take the things of God for granted. We ought never to become used to holy things. We ought always to remember the injunction of Solomon that we should keep our foot when we come to the holy place. We should watch very, very carefully how we walk, not only in the sight of man, but in the sight of God. It is imperative that as believers, we never become careless about the things of God. We take the great doctrines of Scripture very seriously. And I make it my practice to spend most of my ministry seeking to expound and apply the great central doctrines of the faith, what Thomas Chalmers used to refer to as the cardinal essentials of the gospel. These doctrines, the assurance of salvation, the fullness of grace in Christ, the all-sufficiency of His blood atonement, the security of saints placed by an act of God's Spirit in union with Christ, all these doctrines are of great comfort and of great spiritual power in the lives of the people of God. But we must never make them a pretense for sin. We must never make the doctrines of the gospel into what Paul calls a cloak of maliciousness. We need to ensure that our grasp of what men have come to call the doctrines of grace are not turned into an excuse for licentiousness. It is one thing to believe in the doctrines of full and free sovereign grace. It is quite another thing to become what theology is called an antinomian, who cares nothing in reality about how he lives. As long as his theory's right, he doesn't care about practical holiness. Sin in the lives of the people of God is a great evil. It's all the more an evil when it is, far from being deplored, courted and cosseted and welcomed by the believer. I believe that this is the greatest single reason for the dearth that you find in our churches today. It's the greatest single reason why so many of God's professing people are living at a low ebb spiritually, believing the right things, but not knowing the vital power of daily walking with God, not knowing the vital power of godliness. But of all the sins that we as Christians are capable of committing, I feel that those that are in a special sense sins against the Holy Ghost are dangerous, they're ruinous to our spiritual enjoyment, to our spiritual usefulness, and far more importantly, they're especially detrimental to the glory of Christ as we represent them in this world. So today, as we come very near the end of our prolonged series of studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and we probably only will proceed with one or two more studies, unless the Lord directs me to other areas. But as we approach the end of this series, I want us to consider a solemn warning to Christians about sinning against the Holy Ghost. We've taken three texts. They have one thing in common. Each of them speaks about a sin against the Holy Ghost in the church. We're going to deal with them one at a time, tempting the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit, and quenching the Holy Spirit. Now in Acts 5, we're dealing with tempting the Holy Spirit. Here we have that very familiar story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's amazing the contrast that you have in the church. Chapter 4 ends with one of the highlights of the New Testament. Introduces us to one of the godliest and most gracious, most committed Christians
the world has ever seen. Barnabas, who laid everything that he had at the feet of the apostles, but more significantly at the feet of the Lord Jesus. But here's the contrast. Ananias and Sapphira sold their possession. Nobody asked them to sell it. And as Peter told them, when they did sell it, nobody asked them for the money. But they came into this communal life that the people of God were then practicing. And they said, there's all our possession. And of course that meant they were going to live entirely out of what was held in common by the entire group. But they lied. They just gave a portion, hoping not to be found out, of course. But Peter spoke to them very, very bluntly. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You have not lied unto man, you have lied unto God. And then later in verse 9, how is it you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now this is the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. And you can see immediately that tempting the Spirit of the Lord was for them lying to the Holy Ghost. To tempt the Spirit was to lie to the Spirit. It was the sin of hypocrisy. It was the sin of putting on the show. The sin of making a grand profession before men in the name of the Lord, and yet all the time before God Himself, living in a very opposite way. The sin of hypocrisy. That was their sin. But theirs was a very peculiar sin of hypocrisy. It was such a sin as to hurt the operation of the church, which was particularly the sphere of the Holy Spirit's working with power and blessing. You see, these finances that were coming in for the smooth running of the church in all its operations and all its needs. This money that was coming in was to enable the work of God to go forward and keep going forward to meet the needs of the people of God in all their different personal necessities as well as the collective needs of the whole body. And by the action of Ananias and Sapphira, the church was being robbed. The individual believers were being robbed. The whole work of God, to some degree, was being hurt. The Spirit of God was jealous for this sphere of His operation. This is why their sin is called lying, not to man, but to God, the Holy Spirit, and tempting the Spirit of God. It was not a sin of ignorance. It was not a sin that one would just slide into. It was a sin, not even of words, but a sin of deep purpose and a sin of deliberate action. And very clearly it called forth the judgment of God. It was tempting the Spirit of God, tempting Him to judgment, tempting Him to swift retribution. Now that should tell us something that every Christian needs to hear. I'm going to leave aside this morning the entire question as to whether Ananias and Sapphira could ever have been saved. I'm going to leave that aside, for Peter doesn't take it up here at all. They were certainly in the church. They were in the church when the church was at its zenith. They were in the church in the midst of the greatest revival that God has ever sent to the earth. They were in the church when the Holy Spirit was more clearly manifesting the fullness of His miraculous power than at any other time, even in the New Testament period. They were there when heaven came down to earth. So whether they were saved or whether they weren't, we leave aside and we learn this.
is a fact that in the very best of churches, under the very best of circumstances, with the greatest possible incentives to do right, there are some who bear the name of Christ and they are guilty of crass hypocrisy. We can see them here in Acts 5, and we will have them in every age of the church's life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.